Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And welcome in, everyone. Frank Bassett joining you this morning for Golf Talk America and PGA Tour Countdown, which is a show produced by the Golf Talk America Network. We want to wrap up a little bit of what happened last week and have some interviews. You know, the Denny McCarthy-Victor de Hovland playoff was pretty exciting for Victor Hovland. Felt sorry for Denny, but then again, somebody has to win. Somebody has to come in second. Second place in a designated event is not a bad place to be. It represents a big paycheck, so, and a lot of honor playing and shaking the hand of Mr. Nicklaus after your final round at Memorial. So let's get right to it and hear from Denny McCarthy and Victor Hovland uninterrupted, and then we'll wrap this thing up at the very end.
Runner-up Denny McCarthy, and Denny, you know, you talked about your putting out there is phenomenal all day. Just talk us through how much of a confidence boost that is for you, knowing you can do that in contention on the back nine on Sunday.
Yeah, obviously my putter was pretty hot for most of the week and kept me in it when I needed to make some saves coming in. But I also learned that I can hit a lot of really tough, demanding golf shots. It's kind of, I've been putting a lot of work in, and you know, a lot of the shots I hit this week, you know, that work showed on a really tough, demanding place like this. You know, I wasn't perfect ball striking, but it's so much better than I was. And you know, this place, you just, the greens on the back nine were concrete. And when the wind's swirling, changed directions a few times, I mean, you know, missing it in bunkers and something, you know, is sometimes a good shot. So it was really firm and fast. I hit a lot of really good golf shots. And I've got a lot of positives to take from this week.
Yeah. Open it up for questions right here. Second row. We'll get you a mic in a second.
Can you just kind of describe your emotions? I mean, so close to your first win. It's still, I think, your first second place, so that's, you know, certainly a great showing. But
yeah, I'm heartbroken right now. Really sucks. I thought this was going to be the week. Just felt like, you know, I got a couple good breaks and, you know, just making the par putts, and just felt like nothing could get in my way today. Yeah, it sucks. It really sucks. Cause you know, I haven't been quite this close to the door to knock it down. But I've put myself, in a spot with the chance to win a number of times, and it hasn't happened yet, but, just got to keep working really hard. I know a lot of good golf is very close by.
I believe the only two bogeys today were on 18, obviously twice. That's obviously a very, very difficult hole under the pressure and the conditions. Just how tough is it?
Yeah, I mean, I played 18 pretty well for most of the week. I played 16, 17, 18 well, really, all week. I mean, you can call, 16's a par 3.5, 17's a par 4.5, and 18's a par 4.5. I mean, it's so, those holes are, I've always been tough. Obviously they played into the wind and off the left all week, pretty much. Makes it even harder, makes them even longer. You're hitting longer clubs, greens are concrete. So, yeah, I mean, it was pretty incredible that I didn't make a bogey leading up to that. I think that just speaks to, you know, the grind, the will, the grit I have inside of me. I'm a really fierce competitor, and I never give up. And, you know, you guys probably saw some of that this week.
Go to Ben on the left.
Denny, you were just playing tremendous special golf, just sort of knocking down the greens and playing very smart. I think you were conscious of that, and it was clearly a winning formula at that point. And the first time there was any sort of you know, nerves or something was 14 green. Did you feel something change? Because obviously 15 and whatnot, is that when you realized this is the moment?
No, I didn't. That's a really demanding wedge shot that I hit in there really close. And then I have a putt that's, you know, us, the greens on the back nine were, you know, it was an ice rink pretty much. They were literally, you know, you're tapping down marks and your putter slides. You know, when we got to nine, I mean, the greens were, I mean, they were baked out. They're purple and concrete. So, I mean, I had this little ball or two out left or right putt that, you know, you feel like you got to tap. That was just a really hard putt. I didn't hit a great one, but I don't know how many putts I made that like that this week. I made a lot of them. I didn't feel like I hit that bad of a putt there. And you know, I bounced, I got a really nice break off 15. I pulled it into those trees and it kicked out. And the only mistake I made all day was hitting that wedge shot, and I got maybe a little too aggressive off a ball above my feet lie with the wind off the right. I thought if I aimed at the pin and just hit a good one, it would kind of turn left, and the wind lulled on me, and I hit it in that bunker, which was dead, and I hit a really good bunker shot out on the downslope. And so I felt like if you guys thought there was a moment, I feel like I was really cool inside, and you know, I was able to make that putt on 15. It looked like things could have maybe gotten away from me there, and I kept it together. Same thing on 16. I hit a great shot. Wind lulled on me. One hopped in the bunker. 17, I hit two great golf shots. That's a really hard hole. You had to feel it. You mean, you almost need to hit it within the front edge to three or four paces on to hold that green, and that was a 6-iron I hit. So it was just a really hard, demanding golf course. I hit a lot of good shots, and I've got a lot to be proud of.
As I say, you stalled any of that narrative anyway by making the putt on the green at 15 and then again at 17.
Yeah.
Sorry, 16.
Yeah.
You were almost 5 strokes better in strokes going putting than the next best person.
Today?
Yeah. No, this week.
Oh, this week.
Plus 11, I think, for the week, and next was like plus 6
yeah.
or something.
Yeah. I mean, I need to, I, you know, if I'm going to have a chance to win, my putters, obviously that's the strength of my game. It's going to have to be there. I see these greens really well. I played well here last year. I like hard golf courses. I think I'm a good putter, but it's more so, I think the attitude that I have, it's like playing defense in basketball. You know, I feel like I can make every putt. And that's a great feeling to have, especially when you're coming down the stretch. I hit a couple really good putts on 18 too. I mean, the one in the playoff hole really looked like it was going to go in. Yeah, it sucks right now, but I also hit a lot of really good shots to go along with that good putting. I don't know what my strokes gain approach was. It was, it's gotten a lot better over the last couple of years, and you know, I'm seeing some really good strides and looking forward to playing some more championship high level golf coming up.
Are you at LACC?
I am, yes.
So this sort of golf must make you pretty confident going to there.
Yeah, and I've played there. 4 or 5 times, so I have a good feel for the course, and I'm excited for it. Thanks.
Go over to the right.
Yeah, Denny, obviously you can hear the emotion in your voice. If you ever have experienced anything like this?
I don't know. It's been a little while. Anything I do competitively, if something's coming down the stretch, I mean, I shot hoops on Tuesday and I was a little nervous, tingly, like going into a 3-point contest. Like it, you know, obviously it wasn't like it was today. But I like being in that moment. That's exactly what I want to be playing golf for. I was definitely nervous, and I definitely had some adrenaline, but I feel comfortable, in that situation. I love that aspect of being a competitor is when it starts to feel a little uncomfortable. How can you control that? How can you manage your emotions out there? And I don't know when the last time I've felt, you know, quite that amped up. This can only help me. I'll use this as a learning experience to try and get better.
I didn't really expect a 3-point contest answer to that. What could you give us a little more?
Yeah, I did. It was the tour posted something. 6 or 7 of us did a 3-point contest at Ohio State's facility, NBA style, like 5 off a rack, 5 from each location. And so just even little competitions like that, you know, kind of get me going. I mean, playing ping pong, playing whatever it is. I mean, I'm excited to, I get, the juice is flowing. I get competitive. I want to beat guys. I get nervous even when I play ping pong.
Okay. And one last thing. Obviously, we talked about a lot of the good things you did today. What is it you think you need to do differently, if there is anything, to get the win next time?
I think maybe just be a little bit more consistent off the tee, and maybe try and add a little bit of length. I'm not the longest guy, but I'm not the shortest guy. I'm probably in the middle-ish. I've picked up some speed lately, just my body moving a little better. And I've made a lot of strides in my driving over the last 2-3 years, but I think that aspect can get a little better. My wedge game's in a really good place right now. You can get better in everything. I can probably get better in putting still, and that sounds crazy, but I can still get better in that area. I've been working really hard on my approach game, specifically scoring clubs, pitching wedge, 8-iron, 9-iron, trying to be really dialed in, 8-iron in. The long irons, I've come a long way too, but it's just it's a hell of a game that we play, and it's just something like this is going to make me very hungry for more.
We'll wrap it up with one down here in the front.
Danny, with your play this week, you also earned a spot in the Open Championship. What does that possibility coming into form mean to you as well?
I think I already qualified for the Open.
Sorry, my apologies. But what does it mean that your play is leading you to success heading into part of the season?
I mean, I like hard golf courses. I like championship golf. Like I said, I'm a very fierce competitor. So when, the lights are the brightest and everyone's watching these elevated events and major golf championships, I love that. I love, it as much as it sucks right now to be, to finish runner up here this week. I love being in that situation. That's what I play golf for. So with a couple majors around the corner, another elevated event coming up, I'm excited about where my game is and looking forward to, having another opportunity to win a tournament.
Thank you, Danny.
Thanks.
Forget lessons. Forget changing your swing. PXG Gen 5 golf clubs will unlock your potential and help you play your best golf ever in just one round. Built with PXG's most innovative materials and updated with new head shapes to suit every skill set, PXG Gen 5 clubs deliver cannon-like distance, laser-like accuracy, and angelic forgiveness. Order your Gen 5 clubs today at pxg.com or schedule a fitting at 844-PLAY-PXG. That's 844-PLAY-PXG. Do it today.
All right. We'd like to welcome Victor Hovland, the champion of the Memorial Tournament presented by Workday in 2023, and along with tournament host Mr. Jack Nicklaus, of course. Victor, we'll just get you started. That was an amazing finish, birdie at 17. That putt was obviously pretty important down the stretch, and then, playoff hole was a big make right there. Just your thoughts on the back nine, particularly today.
Yeah, had a nice start, was one under early after kind of relying on my putter in the beginning, and missed a short one on 7 and bogeyed 8 and 9, and I think I was maybe 4 back at that point, and I think I've been in that spot before where that kind of seems to be it for that tournament, but I was really proud of myself for fighting back, making a birdie on 10 and 11. Even though I made a bogey on 12, I didn't let that deter me, and birdie in 15 and 17 was it was awesome. I played 16, 17, 18, I think 2 under the whole week, and those holes are I think I'll have nightmares playing those holes in my head.
Well, with the win, you moved to number 4 in the FedEx Cup.
17 today.
That's awesome.
You moved to number 4 in the FedEx Cup. It's your 4th title, but it is your first on mainland USA. How meaningful is it to win Mr. Nicklaus's tournament as your first in the mainland?
Yeah, that's incredible. Obviously, I feel like I've won a decent amount of tournaments for only being a pro for 4 years. However, there have been at low-key places, resort courses, and abroad. So it feels really cool to get my first win on U.S. soil, and especially at a tournament like this where this week the golf course is arguably harder than most major championship golf courses we play, and the crowds were amazing out there. It felt like a major. So it felt really, or it was really cool that I was able to get it done at a place like this.
And before we take questions, Mr. Nicklaus, just your thoughts on having Victor as your champion this year.
Well, we're delighted to see Victor. Victor and Denny McCarthy both played very well, particularly coming down the stretch. Victor just happened to be a little bit stronger there with on the playoff hole. Both played well, but we're delighted to see Victor win. He's I've watched him quite a bit, and Victor plays well within himself, and is a smart player. This is going to be, you know, one of many wins that he's going to have as time goes on, and to have him as our champion of the Memorial Tour, we couldn't be happier.
Terrific. Okay, we'll take some questions. Raise your hand if you, and we'll get you a microphone. We'll start with Doug.
Victor, when you make the birdie on 15, and you still have that leaderboard kind of in the back right portion, which I assume you saw, when you approach those closing three holes, are you thinking, I need to pick up a stroke, or are you thinking, I need to not drop one, in terms of staying patient and playing smart and all that stuff?
Yeah, I think birdie 15, that got me to 6-under for the tournament, and then I saw that was tied with Scotty, and I thought 6-under could potentially have a chance, because those finishing holes are brutal. Obviously, you can make a birdie coming in, but it's just so easy to make a bogey. You can hit a decent shot, but if it catches a bad bounce or you cut it away from the pin and it just bounces firmly, you end up in a bunker. Now you got a brutal up and down, and it's just, you know, I got it done this time around, but usually if it would have been Thursday or Friday, you're just trying to kind of go through there unscathed, making par or even one over through that stretch is actually not that bad. So to come in obviously birdie 17 and go 1-under that stretch was incredible.
Go Cameron and then Ben.
Victor, I don't think you had worse than a bogey this week. You spoke about sort of playing within yourself and not trying to go for too much. Do you think a couple years ago you might have gone for too much and this kind of a tournament just wouldn't have worked out?
Yeah, I think that's proof of, you know, how I've done it here in the past. I haven't played all that great. I've always seemed to, you know, play okay, make the cut, but then, you know, make a couple of birdies throughout the round, but I would always kind of short side myself, and then I didn't have the short game that I have right now. So when you do end up on the downslope and you need to be able to spin the ball or slow the ball down, I just couldn't do that. So it'd be kind of a double whammy for me before. I would short side myself and I didn't have any tools around the green to slow the ball down. And now I can't even keep the chip on the green, you know, so you're just always grinding. But this week I told myself that when I'm out of position, just play for the fatter part of the green. And if I miss the green, I still have a shot where I can roll the ball up or slow the ball down enough to get it close to the pin. So I knew this was kind of going to be a competition of not making any double bogeys or making too many mistakes.
And then if I could ask one more, like who or what was most responsible for that maturation that you talked about?
Yeah, it's been great. My instructor, Joseph Mayo, has been awesome to have on the team. We started earlier this year. Known each other for a long time, but he's been coming out for a lot of tournaments. And just from watching me play golf in agonizing pain, just watching me short side myself a couple times around, it's like sometimes, you know, bad breaks are going to happen. But when you watch it happen too many times or too often, he suggested basically, hey, I think our course management or our strategies is not very good. And that's when he reached out to Eduardo Molinari, who does my stats. And basically they just crunched some numbers and basically saw the stats kind of tell the same story. Just a little bit different strategy, and particularly pitching wedge to 8-irons is where I'm way more conservative, especially at a golf course like this when the greens become very firm and fast and you put the pins on the edges. You just can't afford to go for them.
Don't look at me. I didn't put
I feel like you had something to do with it, Jack.
No, the tour put the pins. I never asked. I never got involved in one pin placement this week. Not one.
That's probably a good thing.
It is a good thing. Yeah, the score has been higher if I did.
You finish that answer?
Yeah.
All right. We'll go to Ben and then Rob in front.
Mike, if you could just, after the shot on 12, the second shot that all of us down here are very familiar with, Could you just run us through the mindset to get past that and then obviously go on to win?
Yeah, I mean, over the green there, it's quite a severe side slope. And I had a pretty nice lie, and I just tried to get a little too cute. It was a very similar shot to that I had on 18 on Saturday, where I hit it over the green. And you don't really have too much. It's possible to get it close, but you have to absolutely hit it perfect. And when it's sitting in that kind of rough, you know, sometimes they come out a little bit more dead than you expect it to. And unfortunately, it happened at that moment. I should have probably just taken my medicine and assured that it landed on the green, and I would have given myself maybe a 10-footer up the hill, worst case. Yeah, when you hit shots like that, that's how you make double bogeys around here. Luckily, I hit a nice chip shot after that and made an easy four at least. Obviously not what you're looking for, but could have been worse. Yeah, it's just that's kind of it, I think it would have bothered me more before. I feel like I have, now that I'm playing better, I have, you know, I've relied on my putter this week, and even if I'm out of position, I know that I have a short game, so when I hit bad shots, it doesn't bother me as much. Whereas before, it was like, okay, I just wasted a shot that I couldn't afford to waste. Yeah, that just kind of changes the mindset a little bit.
We'll go Rob and then Dave at the back.
Victor, you've been playing really well, especially in the majors, knocking on the door but just coming up a little close. Is that a fine line between being frustrated in that sense and yet being very confident that you are close? And when you were down four today, what's going through your head there? Here we go again, or you were freed up a little bit?
Yeah, it's when you're in that spot, it's just hard to win golf tournaments, especially when you're playing fields like this at a golf tournament like or a golf course like this. It's just, you know, you can play great golf and still not win. And I think just being in contention as many times as I've been the last few months or the last year, I think that's just a great sign in itself. Obviously, I would have liked to finish off a few more tournaments, but you know, PGA was a great step in the right direction. I didn't really feel like I backed down that Sunday. Brooks went out there and earned it. He played amazing golf. A little disappointing last week in Dallas. That was a bad Sunday. But it's just one of those things you got to keep learning from it instead of thinking, okay, here we go again, and I'm just not going to win this week. You know, you just got to stay within yourself and keep fighting, and sometimes it works out like it did this week.
Are you mentally tougher because of it? Does that actually help you in some ways?
I don't know. I think it's obviously learning from mistakes is key, but sometimes you get enough scar tissue in there. That's not great either. But I don't feel like I've had that scar tissue. I don't know how to look at it, but I think the more you're in that spot and the more you learn from it instead of beat yourself down when you don't perform the way you want to perform, I think that's just a way better way of handling it instead of thinking, oh, I'm not good in these situations. Just got to keep learning, and I feel like I've done a good job of that.
A couple up the back, we'll go Dave and then Bill.
Victor, congratulations, first of all. When you saw how difficult this golf course was going to be this week, did you really immediately embrace it? Because it seems like you've really taken to playing difficult golf courses well, and I'm wondering maybe even have you always been that way, or is that something that's developed more recently?
Yeah, I would say I've historically kind of done better at easier golf courses because of my aggressive nature of how I play the game, and I like to hit right at the pins. So if the ball stops where it lands, I can be very aggressive and just take it at the pins. And at harder golf courses, you can hit good shots and you're just going to miss some greens. So if I'm missing more greens than I didn't have the short game before, it just puts more pressure on my ball striking. And to a certain point, there's only so many greens that you can hit. I feel like maybe this week I hit about 10, 11, 12 greens every single day and didn't hit it bad by any means. I hit it fine, but if you don't have a short game to kind of get you through those those holes that you're missing greens on, then you just don't have a chance. But I feel like now with my good ball striking and a short game that I can rely on, I feel like these hard golf courses should suit me a lot better than they have in the past.
Go ahead, Bill.
Victor, what's the mindset when you're chasing somebody who you know is so good with the putter, as Denny is, and just anything you might want to say about him and that playoff?
Yeah, obviously, I haven't played with Denny too much, but I know he's notorious for having an incredible short game, and that usually lends itself pretty well around places like this. But I wasn't necessarily playing against him. I was kind of playing against the score or playing against the golf course, essentially. I knew that, okay, six could potentially get in a playoff, but obviously I wanted to get ahead of Scotty, and I knew I just had to make one birdie, and I thought that was going to be the magic number. Being at 7-under and playing 18, I didn't really want to get too aggressive on 18 and then potentially make a bogey and kind of give it away to Denny. So it was more that I was just playing against the score and just trying to make a par on 18.
Okay. One more? Two more? Doug, go ahead.
I had a couple. For Victor, which was the tougher putt on 18, regulation or the playoff?
I was shaking more in regulation, that's for sure. The one in the playoff, obviously knowing that Denny's missed his and it's basically a free load or a free roll. You know, if I make it, I win. If not, we still got a chance. So that was a little bit easier, and it was more kind of up the hill, a little straighter. Whereas the one on in regulation, even though it was a couple feet shorter, there was a little bit more break, and I had to hit it so softly. It's not, you don't really want to ram those in. And I'm glad it kind of snuck in on the left edge.
How big is the name Jack Nicklaus in Norway?
Not to break your ego, but I don't think there's too many people that know about you. our season is so short. I mean, way shorter than it is over here. And we get a lot of snow. We're a proud ski nation. Most people in the summer, they play soccer. So not a whole lot of golf. But I feel like the last few years, it's really ramped up. And I feel like more people are getting introduced to the great game of golf. And I think that's a great thing.
It's a good thing.
And Jack, it's been such a good week with the weather. Is this ideally, I mean, I know it's great the way Muirfield Village played, but did you always like this about the kind of the routing of the course that, I mean, today felt like get your birdies through, you know, through 14, 15, hang on for dear life toward the end. Do you like that for a finishing stretch in golf?
Well, you know, I never thought it was that difficult because generally speaking, the prevailing wind is down your back and from the right on 16, 17, and 18. Which means that you can sort of play the ball against the trouble. And you couldn't do that. The wind's coming left to right. It was coming a little bit in your face, too, mm-hmm. from the northeast instead of the southwest. And that made those finishing holes very difficult. And, of course, particularly with the greens, as hard and firm as they were, they I don't know that the last three holes in this golf course have been historically pretty difficult. The 14 and 15, or well, even 13, have all been looked at as pretty reasonable chances at birdie. So you better store up while you get through there because you got a little bit of a maybe give back in the last couple of holes. And I mean, Victor finished up 3-3-4. Not many guys finish. As a matter of fact, he was the only guy to birdie 17 today, and I don't think anybody birdied 18, if I'm not mistaken. And so I don't know why 18 was not a difficult pin position. I mean, that's our standard. We usually have a lot of birdies on 18, but there wasn't any there today. And at least that's what I was told. I don't really know how to answer your question. I'd like to see. I don't like to see it be brutally difficult. I will We'll adjust 16 next year. I'll do some things on that that'll make it a more forgiving hole. When you've got only 25% of the guys hitting the green, which is what it was on Saturday, that's not enough. 12, it was about 50%, and that's not too bad. You know, if you've got, you play a good shot, you're going to play some shots into one of the bunkers, and you're going to miss that green occasionally. But 16 is a much bigger green. It just doesn't play that big. And, you know, I don't know why 17 played so difficult, but, you know, it's not a huge green, that's for sure. But I will go through the golf course. I'm not going to – 18 doesn't need to be taken. 18 is fine. I might want to fiddle just a little bit with 17. I don't know what it would be. Maybe just coming over that bunker on the right, it might pitch away from me a little bit. I might want to soften that to make the green play a little bit larger. But, you know, also the little things. You know, I'm a tinkerer, as you know, and I like to improve things. We did this whole golf course over 2 years ago, and I'm not going to get it 100% the first time. I'm going to make a couple of little mistakes, and I think I can do a little bit better, and I'm going to try to do a little bit better with it. But I love the way the course played this week. Maybe a little faster than it probably should have played. I don't think we'll ever find another week like this where we haven't had rain here for 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't ever have that. I mean, I walked out on the 18th green tonight and walked out there with Victor. I said, this is what you guys putted on? I mean, tomorrow that looks like it's going to be, you know, it's going to be gone. I don't think it will be, but, it was really, really.
The water might not even stay on the green.
No, it'll just run off. Yeah. Just run off. It wouldn't go down through it. You know, so, you know, it's hard. And I don't want the guys to walk. They averaged about 75 today, the last round. That's a little high. So, we had 17, 18, 19-mile-an-hour wind on a hard golf course, on a firm golf course. That makes for tough conditions. I don't care where you are.
Okay. Let's take one more question from Alex, and we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, Jack, obviously when you played, things were a lot different. But Victor just won $3.6 million. Just wondering if you could speak to how different that is to where your days were.
My largest tournament win was, and the regular tour was a Masters, 1986, $144,000. And then I won my last tournament. I won was a tradition on a senior tour, and that was $150,000. $3.6 million? Your guys are way overpaid. Now, I think it's great to see it happen in the game. I have no regrets for it. I love seeing that we were the guys that were the forerunners that helped make that happen. And we always had to go win golf tournaments to make a name, to go make a living outside. The guys today can make a living on the golf course. And it's not just 10 or 15 guys. You got, I don't know, what do you got? A couple hundred guys can make a living, or 300 guys all make a living, don't you? And the tours that you've got, I think it's fantastic. And I hope next year we pay him $7.2 million. Right. Maybe a playoff, maybe you ought to get double. I don't know. But I mean, I'm delighted to see it. I love the person. We're just actually, we're getting right in with other sports now. I mean, there's a lot of other sports that are pretty high. And, you know, these guys have worked hard. And, you know, it's not like it's 1,000 of them making that kind of money. It's a select few that really, really work hard and play well.
All right. With that, we'll wrap it up. Mr. Nicholas, thanks for your hospitality this week and being a great host. And Victor, congratulations on the victory. Excellent job. Thanks, everybody.
Well done.
So there you have it. You've heard from both of them, and we'll be bringing you several Golf Talk America and PGA Tour Countdown shows this week, leading up to, of course, what will be the U.S. Open next week, where we'll be at LA Country Club Live. So for the Golf Talk America Network, for Golf Talk America, for PGA Tour Countdown, those weekend golf guys, all part of the Golf Talk America Network, I'm Frank Bassett saying, Tim Matthews, wherever you are, somewhere in Texas, hurry home. We'll see you this week.